It doesn't, because even at MD Anderson, this is one that would go to the multimodality conference. And that's, you know, I'm sure most hospitals are doing this now. It's the only way to really make the best diagnosis. You need your pathologist there. You need the radiation oncologist. You need a group opinion. And consensus often takes a while. But I think there are a number of ways to approach this. Everything that was discussed here, I think, is reasonable. I'd be interested to know what you did.
Are you saying that all your new lung cancer patients get presented at this multimodality conference?
Well, cases, you know, in a busy practice like Anderson, where we're seeing so close to 1,000 new lung cancer patients last year, many patients will come in with metastatic disease, either frontline setting, clearly metastatic disease, or second, third line or more. Those cases, for the most part, are not discussed unless, you know, the physician has a concern, and certainly protocols are discussed in other settings. But any case that might involve, you know, more than one service, it certainly helps to have, you know, in a large center where you have a large number of radiation oncologists, surgeons, and medical oncologists, and other providers, it's nice to discuss those cases, you know, quickly, 5 minutes, 10 minutes a case, and we try to do that as best we can. I think that in this case, sometimes, you know, there are multiple options and they can get presented onto the patient. You know, that's medicine. I think it could vary from doing nothing, as has been said, to radiating, to giving chemotherapy. You have to see the patient. The person that ultimately makes a decision is the treating physician. You know, as with anything else, you have to actually see this man in the office, you know, sure, to make that decision.
So, Steve, what happened?
We did have the pathology review, and it confirmed that the pathologic diagnosis. He actually was presented at our local hospital tumor board. And he actually, on exam, there was still some residual, it was unclear if it was just induration from the biopsy or whether there was still a residual mass there. So we elected to treat him with combined modality therapy with etoposide and carboplatin, along with just involved field radiation to the supraclave area and the adjacent anterior cervical lymph nodes. Did not do any radiation to the lung area. So he received chemotherapy along with the radiation and two additional cycles of etoposide carboplatin after the radiation was completed. And he did beautifully. He had just some minor radiation dermatitis, sailed through the radiation without any difficulties, completed his course of chemotherapy, resumed all his normal activities, and he's now actually 1 year out. I just saw him last week, and he's over a year out and in complete remission as of this point, and still no primary site.
Hip? Yeah, so you always ask yourself, what's the worst case scenario that can happen and the best case scenario? Well, the best case scenario is that you give him the full 9 yards of treatment, which you guys did. I mean, short of giving chest, you know, prophylaxis, but again, that was probably going to be overkill, or, you know, PCI, which again, we don't want to go there today, and that he gets through the therapy well. But the worst case scenario is that when you treat, is that he dies of complications from chemotherapy, and then it comes up on a chart review that you were treating someone with chemotherapy who had no disease present. The other scenario is when you don't treat someone and you observe them, they develop widely metastatic disease and maybe disease that is so rampant and fast, which small cell can do, is that you've lost your window to treat them at all. And so that's really the two factors that you end up weighing. And I can already hear the voices of some of the people in our department arguing one side for chemo and the other side for not doing anything. And I know Roy is hearing these same echoes too. What's also nice is you mentioned multidisciplinary conference, Neil, is that, you know, when even in Anderson, when we're in the clinics, there are two or three medical oncologists usually there. And across the hall, there's usually two radiation oncologists and two surgeons. And so we often have our own mini multidisciplinary conferences as well, consulting with our colleagues on this. And because nobody has the right answer on any of this.